Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim reveals his favorite Van Halen song, and we agree that beautiful girls are something we like.
And Eddie Van Halen tells the critics to kiss his ass.
All right, day two of Van Halen week / Kevin Spain week. And so we're going on to album two, Van Halen two, with the Roman numerals. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And all week we're talking about classic Van Halen albums. So What do you got to say, Kevin?
Well, I appreciate you letting me stay over. I hope I didn't cause too much of a problem around here. And, you know, maybe later in the week I'll be screaming, can we go home yet? Kind of like I did here one night at the house party.
So before we get into Van Halen 2, let's talk a little bit about your Van Halen fandom. When did you become a fan of the band?
I was in junior high, I guess, and then high school. I was like, you know, a lot of people during that time when it came out, it was different. And it was, you know, I thought Eddie was an amazing guitarist. And it just, you know, it was just something that, you know, everybody really liked. It was upbeat. It's kind of like what you talked about in the previous show, how it seemed, you know, it wasn't heavy metal. It wasn't punk rock, but it was. And it wasn't pop music, but it was. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, they were just a good rock band.
Yes.
And I think that's what sort of drove us to really liking it. And during that time, you know, radio consisted of basically where I lived in Tennessee, it was top 40, album-oriented rock, and country music. That was basically your choices.
Uh-huh.
And so they would play. There was a radio station near us that, you know, the guy may come on and say side two of Van Halen 2, and they would just play the entire
second half
of the album. And so that was just the kind of thing that got us into that album. And I just loved it. I thought the music was great. They had fun, which we talked about. And, you know, when you're a kid and all you want to do is have fun, it's great to have bands that want to have fun.
Yeah, exactly right. And yeah, you know, I think like we said yesterday, they did really want to have fun.
Yeah. I think that's what really sold them. I think that's what made them so popular. They're very good.
Yeah.
But I think also their attitude of we love doing this and we're having a good time. I think that really helped sell them.
I completely agree. And you mentioned earlier that they didn't really fit into a lot of these categories that people tried to put them into.
Right.
And if anything, you just would call them a rock band. It's almost like rock band with like capital letters. Like
yeah, that's
what they were.
Yeah.
And they knew that. And they were just going out there. They had this like spirit of rock and roll in them, you know, and they understood that relationship between the artist and the audience in a way that obviously made them very successful, but it also didn't feel like they were pandering so much, you know.
No.
It felt very true. Like we think this is really good, and we hope you do too.
Yeah.
And we're gonna really do our best to sell it to you,
right?
You know, to put on great show or really make these records and you drop the needle just kind of explode out of the speakers, but it never it didn't feel but it felt like this is what they love to do, and you could like almost hear that when you play the records. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's well said. Yeah.
So Van Halen 2 came out in March 1979,
yep.
So really just 1 year after the debut.
Got to crank the second one out.
And they had gone on tour opening for Black Sabbath after the first album. And we mentioned the first album over time ended up selling over 10 million copies,
right.
but was very successful even in that first year.
Yeah.
So, you know, Warner Brothers, you know, get back in the studio, guys, and give us a follow-up. And what they did with this one and why I think it, for the most part, sounds very similar to the debut album is because they basically followed the same formula. They went back to the same studio. It was called Sunset Sound in Hollywood.
Yeah.
They have the same producer, Ted Templeman.
Templeman.
And
Patrick and I are giving him a new name, by the way. We were changing his name. Yes.
We gave him a T. Yeah.
Yes. And they also used apparently a lot of the same songs that they had written for the original, like demos that they had made for the first album.
Yeah.
They didn't do a lot of new material for this album. It was stuff that they already had, you know, ready to record.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, it feels, you know, it's Van Halen 2, and it does feel like a sequel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been the second part of a two-part debut album, is what it sounds like. And I think that's what the fans wanted, though. I mean, that debut album was so good. People liked that, and I think they just wanted more of the same. And they came out with another group of fun songs, and I think they just kind of kept it going.
And I'm sure the record company wanted more of the same, too.
I think they did, too. You know, I know you guys have talked about this before. That was the typical pattern, really, during that time of the 70s, is to record and just keep putting out as much new material as possible. And this album comes out a year later. And I think what was good for this band was, like you said, a lot of these songs were already written. They had already played them a lot. So it wasn't like they had to rush to put together an album, which could have flopped like a lot of bands did, put out, you know, music that didn't fit them. I think that, you know, because they already had some of this stuff written and they knew it, it was pretty easy for them to turn this material around and to just kind of, you know, keep it going.
Well said.
You've hit it exactly. That was exactly the key. They did not have to scramble in a very short period of time to write a whole new album worth of songs. They had this stuff ready to go.
Yeah.
And that makes a huge difference. And in fact, so I want to kick us off. I could go with some deep cut, some obscure thing, something like that. But no, I'm going to play a hit song of this because this may be my favorite Van Halen song.
Okay.
When we talk about perfect pop, it would be hard to argue against
this. I think I know where you're going with this.
This is so great. Obviously, Dance the Night Away.
It is.
I mean, it just sounds like you're having a party. It just sounds, you know what? It sounds almost like you're out with a bunch of friends. You know, you're in high school or college, whatever. And you're like, it's summer and you're hanging out outdoors. Yeah. You know, you've managed to, you know, score a six pack or something like that. You got maybe got a boombox on the, like, you know, roof of the car, and you're sitting out in the woods or on a field somewhere and just listening to music and hanging out, right? Or maybe you have the car, you know, on and you're just listening to the music out of the car stereo with the doors open, right?
Yeah, both doors open.
I mean,
yeah.
But here's the thing, you know, like I said, capital letters rock band, but also like a great pop band in the sense of like this song, you could put this songwriting up there with like the, you know, the songwriters for Motown or the people in the Brill Building. Or whatever, you know, those classic like 60s pop songs. That's what this is. It's really that good.
Mm-hmm. And you have not air drummed unless you've air drummed the opening part of Dance the Night Away with those rolls and then dropping down and leading the song in. Absolutely.
Got a little cowbell in there too.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that was their first top 20 single.
Okay.
Even though as great as that first album was, none of those songs really peaked on the pop charts, but that one did get in the top 20. Yeah. So it's exactly what you're talking about. That was the song that sort of was the crossover that got them into kind of that pop scene as well, and probably brought more fans, expanded their audience a little bit. And now it's a fun song, and it helped, I think, keep their popularity driving through the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned yesterday about David Lee Roth as a singer. And I would say that he was a great singer in in his own way. He was he was the best David Lee Roth.
No question.
That there could be, right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In what he did. And one of the things he throws in, obviously it's his signature things, are those kind of like high-pitched little yelps that he just puts in
little
the
little squeaks. Yeah, squeaks. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Some people may not like that or think it's overdone. I don't know. There's something about it that is just so endearing, I think. And the fact that it's just like, sometimes it's just like in the middle of a line, like on some like syllable, like almost like you just pass right over it. It's not even like, you know, at the end to do it for some effect or whatever. It just comes out, you know, it's really kind of an amazing thing.
Yeah, it's very unique. And the way they recorded his voice and mixed it with that reverb on it just gave it that fullness too. Yeah.
It works. It kind of goes with the talking guitar that you were talking about. Yeah. You know, it's like that they just kind of throw these things into their songs that were very different at the time, and they work. A lot of the songs do sound similar, and we talked about that. There's a lot of differences as well. This one is very much a poppy, dancey type song. And then they do have on this same album some very hard driving guitar and that. And then they've got some acoustics on this album as well. So they do a lot of, you know, we're gonna throw a lot of things at you on these albums, and we're gonna show you some of the things we can do. This one is good. I mean, it was a good pick. I kind of knew you were going that way when you said that was one of your favorite songs.
I can't get enough of it. Somebody on our social media said that this was his favorite. I can't remember who said this, but it was his favorite. He didn't really give an explanation.
Oh, really?
He just said, "Dance the Night Away." And I wanted to respond. I probably should respond. You are correct. That is it. So speaking of the acoustic, should we get into...
Spanish Fly, which is a short acoustic. Basically, it's a Eddie Van Halen solo. And it's really an answer to some criticism he got for Eruption. I think there were some critics who felt like that Eruption was a studio gimmick. And I think Eddie felt like, oh, that's what you think, huh? All right, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get an acoustic, and I'll show you how damn good I am. And then you can see. And it's basically Eruption on an acoustic guitar. It's a lot of the same finger tapping and the way he played it. And it's fantastic, and I think it just shows what a great guitarist he is.
Funny you played that one, Kevin, because that's the one when I play acoustic guitar, I just loosen up with. I just warm up before I actually start playing the more complex stuff.
No, you have it exactly right, Kevin. It's basically, you know, in an album full of, you know, hard rock, electric guitar, all of that, it just sort of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's just to make a statement. It's just basically tell people to shut up, you know,
that's
kind of rock and roll right there, you know, and not only is it acoustic, it's a classical guitar. It's a nylon string classical guitar,
exactly right?
You know, that the kind of thing that, like
Segovia would play or something.
Right. And my kids, middle school, they offer guitar as one of the music courses you can take. You can take band or choir or guitar, and they make a point of saying, this is not rock guitar. This is classical guitar. You're going to, you know, and
no smiling.
Right. So Eddie basically says, you know, I'm going to take the most like sort of standard, respected instrument in the guitar family. And then I'm going to show you what I can do on that. Right.
Yeah.
So this album was a disappointment by debut album standards.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, man. When your first one's a big hit, there's nowhere to go except for maybe down.
But still, 5 million sold over time.
It's not bad, man.
So even having the sales is still an amazing number of sales for most artists.
Yeah, I think that's probably more than the second Boston album sold. So, but I will too say, and I think we're going to talk about your vinyl collection later in the week, Jim, but you've got all the complete collection here. They tried real hard to make Michael Anthony look cool on the sleeve of this album, but it just doesn't work. You know what I mean? Like, especially on the inside, he's not looking so good in his little solo situation there. That, everybody else looks really cool.
Well, with the teal shirt, that big U neck kind of thing.
And just holding the bass there, trying to look cool. It wasn't good.
At some point, maybe tomorrow, we should talk a little bit about the visual image of Van Halen.
Because
I think that's really important, too. There's some little thing
it's
on
perfect
the...
Dave, though, on that album.
Man.
Where
the split jump?
Yeah, the split jump. He's looks like he's about 8 feet in the air. So
got the candy cane pants on. Oh. It's pretty amazing.
So one little tidbit about the liner notes is that where it does thanks to all at Warner Brothers and WEA Worldwide, the guiding influence of premier talent, the Road Company, the Sheraton Inn, 7th floor, Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes.
And all the hall managers who waded through the rubble at Van Halen Eyes backstages around the world. So the reference to the Madison, Wisconsin Sheraton Inn is apparently they trashed the place while they were on tour.
Yeah, they had a fire extinguisher fight in the hall, apparently. So, yeah.
But those are the little tidbits, too, about having vinyl records. And back in the day, when you didn't, there was no internet and things like that, you wouldn't know that. And you would sit and listen to the album and you would read all these liner notes because you weren't distracted by a million other things back then. Yeah. That was what you did. And then, you know, there'd just be like a little thing in there. What is that all about? Yeah,
why are they thinking a Sheraton?
Okay, so tomorrow we're going to talk about Women and Children First. And before we head out on this one, let's mention that you should listen to Rock in the Suburbs every day.
Every day.
Get stuff like this, like an album a day sometimes.
That's all you need.
You can find the show on all the big podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Stitcher. And what's there's another big one I'm forgetting.
Tune
Google
in.
Play. That's
Google
another
Play.
One.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And our friends at Audio Boom. Let's
do
it that way. Also, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you have a device for that. And also, tell us what you think about Van Halen. We got some calls ahead of time that we've been playing this week, but we'll still get you on if you want to give us a call. People who call in, by the way, get stickers, get Rock in the Suburbs stickers.
Yes,
that's our new thing. Mm-hmm. But you have to call to get that.
Got
to
make a phone call.
The number is 612-440-1984.
I
actually almost forgot it.
We're talking about that later, right?
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, hence the number. There was a reason behind the number we chose. Also, but if you do want to, you can email rock@suburbspod.com and converse with us that way, or find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @suburbspod. All right.
Cool.
And with that, we'll leave you with a playout song. Do either of you guys have a preference on what else we play from Van Halen 2 here?
You know, I like the hard-driving guitar on the song Beautiful Girls.
You know, it's hard not to pick the hits with this
yeah,
band. You know what I mean? The hits are so good.
Yeah. We should have done this one from inside a car, driving around, and just played them on the radio, because they sound even better that way.
Right.
Yeah, like a 74 Chevelle or something.
All right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It would have been an A-track.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. She was a seaside, sitting just smoking and drinking on ringside, on top of the world, oh yeah. She had a drink in her hand, she had a toast in the sand, oh wow, what a beautiful plans. Special plans.
bed. I got a mate in the shade, and all I need is the woman.
Except for Dave. Now, you look at that picture, and he's being a doofus. The other three are, you know...